Chapter 12. Stress. A specific solution requires a specific problem. Not a day goes by when we do not hear or read about stress. How many people are stressed at work? How many people are on sick leave? And which consequences stress has on your overall well-being? Stress is not a diagnosis. It is an umbrella definition that covers many different conditions. Because when are you stressed? Is it when the demands exceed resources? Is it when you have too much work? When are you overworked? Stress has become a collective term for many different problems. Therefore, it is problematic when solutions are being spat out. Here's what you do if you're stressed, or exercise helps stress. When we do not even agree on what stress is or what condition we are talking about. When people contact me and say that they are stressed and need help, there can be crucial differences in the problems they are struggling with. Because when are you stressed and not depressed? And when is it stress and not anxiety? Therefore, I always look for depressive symptoms, whether the person is feeling sad for many hours a day, is sleeping poorly at night, and most of the time has negative thoughts about themselves, the world, and the future. The person might also have some anxiety symptoms, and there are different psychological reactions. With depression and anxiety, the therapist will have a clearer idea of what to investigate in relation to the client and how to alleviate these disorders. These terms have clearer definitions, and therefore it is also easier to find a solution. As opposed to the concept of stress, which does not tell you the exact symptoms you will have. General guidelines for alleviating stress are therefore of little use, because which problem does this word cover? Stress is many things. The word stress does not invite a specific solution. However, a word like exhausted does. I once had a man in therapy. He had taken sick leave because of stress. During the last 20 years, he had worked without taking off many vacation days or weekends, which were also filled up with work and changeable working hours. He also had children whom he wanted to care for while he juggled a stressful work life. The feeling of being exhausted and burned out had now overwhelmed him. He was simply fatigued. His body could not take any more. The solution was obvious. He must cut down on the amount of work. Being on sick leave due to stress did not offer him any immediate solutions because the problem had not been defined. But when we defined his state as exhaustion and fatigue, it became clearer for us what the solution could be. Problem 1 and Problem 2. Many cases of stress leave are due to a bad working environment. Conflicts with colleagues, chaotic situations, bad management, and too little time for too many tasks. These are issues that are about something practical with some very specific problems that have specific solutions. The poor working environment, for example, is problem one, whereas sick leave and the experience of stress are problem two. These are thoughts about conflicts with colleagues, fear of the boss, or the nervousness about not being able to perform optimally. And these thoughts can make up problem two, which gets bigger and bigger because the ruminating and worrying continues. CAS becomes a massive problem, and this is often when the situation ends with sick leave. But sick leave tends to make CAS even bigger, because what happens during sick leave? The stressed employee has even more time to mull over everything that is wrong and everything that he or she cannot figure out. The bad conscience about other employees having to work faster and worrying about all the problems you will have to return to, which are unlikely to have improved in the meantime, reinforce CAS and thus make problem two worse. And problem one can be big enough on its own. While on sick leave, many people will feel that they will never be ready to return to work. In the metacognitive approach, the assumption is that most of us are able to find solutions to our problems if we are not disturbed by CAS. Our brains can look after themselves over the long term, except when circular overthinking muddies our chances of finding a solution to problem one. Ruminating and worrying take up all of our time, and we never get around to dealing with the very specific problems at work. Thoughts like, I can't do anything about my situation. I have to put up with the bad management. No one will hire me. I'm too old. I'm a woman of childbearing age. Are all typical CAS thoughts. Solution 1 and Solution 2. Only when the brain is not being occupied with persistent speculation or worry can there be room for creative and more solution-oriented thinking. And only when the excessive attention to this type of thinking has been reduced can there be an opportunity to consider whether or not to stay at a workplace. The job might still be worthwhile once a few practical problems have been solved, and the work might become bearable if we spend less time thinking about it when we are at home and be satisfied with thinking about it only when we are at work. Other times, we end up concluding that we, as human beings, do not want to accept the conditions that now exist at our workplace. With the reduction of CAS, there is time to try to resolve conflicts instead of just thinking about them. Let us suppose that I have poor finances. I have just been fired. I have no money and huge expenses for rent, the car, the children's activities, and an expensive dental bill that I cannot get out of. I must also pay off student loan debt. My expenses exceed my income by several times. This is a problem one, and it is a big problem. I have two possible solutions, solution one and solution two. In solution one, I worry terribly over my new precarious situation. I have no money and way too many bills that I can't pay. I'm also going to have to move, and I'll likely end up living in a dreadful place. And the kids will have to change schools. And then there's the 25th anniversary of my old elementary school, which I can't possibly show up for now, because I can't tell them that I don't have a job when everyone else is so successful in their lives. It also takes a long time to get a job, and by then I'll have even more debt and even more bills. This can be one way of thinking. Solution two is that I say, okay, I have to choose even if it's not fun. But less is coming into my bank account than goes out. What are the possible solutions for me? Can I find a job right here and now? An extra job? Is there someone in my circle of acquaintances who needs an employee? How can I cut down my expenses? I'll cancel the subscriptions I don't need. Send off job applications today. Drop my kids out of their extracurricular activities and talk to the bank. These simplistic examples are most often those that work best when I present them to my clients. Likewise, this example with a solution 1 and a solution 2. Because how likely is it that solution 1 increases the chances of solving the problem? It is not very likely. Put in this very bombastic way, it shows us that it is not about not thinking about our problems. It is about thinking about them in a certain way and not moving into solution 1, which is based on CAS-related thoughts. Because not only does this way of thinking increase the risk of depression and anxiety, we also do not get into solving problem 1, which in this case are ailing finances. There is a significant difference in the quality of the questions you ask yourself and how you are thinking, because your questions will determine how you will act. Find the right strategy. Since the concept stress covers various conditions, the degree of the issues involved will also vary. Sometimes I find that what a client is convinced is a psychological problem of stress, in reality, is about misspending their time. People with a tendency towards perfectionism are easily affected by inefficiency, spending too much time doing things that do not matter. An email is read through 15 times before it is sent. One task takes 2 days to complete. But there are 10 tasks to complete, and only 1 week to complete them in. The timeline does not add up, and it is not necessarily due to the demands of the workplace being too great, but that the client's strategy is not working. In turn, CAS can become a distraction if we spend a lot of time wondering about all the things that we cannot do instead of finding another strategy so that we actually can get the job done. In these cases, it is not therapy, but rather practical solutions and clear strategy that are needed, because it is not a psychological problem, although many clients think so. Just as the clients I meet who tell me that they have difficulty remembering all the things they have to achieve. If their condition is not an expression of a more serious problem, but is simply based on a life with many activities and to-do lists, the solution is also to find a strategy that helps you to remember. Not being able to do your work or to remember everything that you need to do does not have to be due to a psychological problem. The solution might simply be to set aside a limited amount of time to finish that report or to set an alarm on your phone to help you remember things. In other words, you should ask yourself, how do I cope with my problems? And last but not least, which strategies do I use for specific tasks? Unsuitable coping strategies. The number of hours we work does not necessarily influence the feeling of being stressed. Some people work 80 hours a week without feeling pressured, and others work much less but end up on stress leave. On the other hand, our coping strategies in relation to our thought processes determine whether we feel stressed or not. One unsuitable coping strategy is to respond to life's challenges with CAS. Another unsuitable strategy is to act in a purely behavioral way that exacerbates the condition. This could be sleeping less in order to get everything done, which also means having to take various stimulants to keep your energy up. Others drink too much alcohol to get their minds off work or eat poorly and move too little. Men are often more behavioral oriented in their management of stress and more likely to use stimulants. This is why I see them in therapy when they are seeking treatment for substance abuse. But many times, their problems can be the result of how substance abuse has become an unsuitable coping strategy in dealing with their CAS. Sick leave only made it worse. One of my clients affected by stress was a woman in her mid-50s who was on sick leave from her job. There had been a period with a lot of restructuring at work, and she had been given many more tasks than she felt she could take on. But what was most concerning was that in the aftermath of the many restructurings, a toxic culture had developed among her colleagues, with cliques that disparaged each other's work, a culture that their boss seemed to support. Overall, the workplace was very chaotic. She went on sick leave and felt bad about the whole situation. She was certain that a notice of termination would be waiting for her. During her sick leave, she used most of the time mulling over everything that she could not figure out at work. And she wondered about the unpleasant conversations in which she felt both her boss and colleagues talked down to her. While she was at home, she became more and more anxious about returning the day her sick leave ended. I checked whether she had any problems at home that needed to be dealt with as well, but her problems were strictly at the workplace. She was convinced that changing jobs would not be possible because of her age. So what could have been a solution to her problem instead became CAS, including thoughts about how she was tied to her work and could not get away. This circular thinking did nothing other than drag her farther and farther down. She had strong negative metacognitions and did not believe that she could control her thought processes herself. And now, when she was also at home all day, she ruminated about her work situation and worried about the future, sometimes up to 10 hours a day. She was constantly trying to find solutions and answers to the many questions she had about her future at work. In other words, she also had positive metacognitions and believed that her many hours of thinking would help pave the way for an understanding and a solution. It seemed that she was not actively trying to deal with her excessive inward focus on worrying and speculation. She had not even considered what to do about these thoughts. They were simply there. She neither tried to stop, suppress, or otherwise get away from them. They were permitted to be there all the time. Sometimes she went for walks just to do something. She had cut down on all other activities. In the past, she had liked going to museums with friends or going out to eat. But she had cut out everything that could have increased her outward focus. Walking, she thought, was good for her. And this was also what she heard from many other sources. But when I asked her what she focused on when she went for a walk, she told me that she thought about her situation. She neither looked at the trees, the people around her, nor at the store window displays. Her focus was the same, whether she was sitting on the couch at home or walking. Hers was solely an inward focus on worrying and ruminating. I showed her how much of her time was spent on problem two, instead of finding a solution to problem one, the poor working conditions. Problem two was taking up so much of her time that she did not have time or physical energy to solve problem one. But if her CAS was reduced or eliminated, she could begin to act. Initially, she had to learn to postpone her CAS-related thoughts until a time of her choosing during the day, but for no more than 15 minutes. She also had to learn to separate herself from these thoughts with detached mindfulness exercises and practice not relating to her thoughts, but simply watch them as a passive observer. She could continue to spend time on walking, but her focus had to change from being inward to outward. I therefore asked her to notice things outside of herself during her walks. How many cyclists wore bicycle helmets? What color were the leaves on the trees? Which house gables had graffiti? And what did it represent? She had to notice the street names. As she began to feel her mood improving, because she was no longer spending all her waking hours worrying about her work situation, I also asked her to resume some of her old activities with her friends again. In relation to her conversations with her friends, she still had to be very aware of what they focused on. So, she had to be disciplined in the conversations she had with other people and not let her inward focus take up the whole conversation. Furthermore, she had to practice detached mindfulness in connection with her trigger thoughts, to which she had so far responded to with CAS. As a result, after a few sessions and by doing her homework every day, she could begin to deal with her work situation. She did not think that she could do her job well enough under the present conditions, but she could stay in this job until she found another position. She had already started her job search via her network, and she began to see the possibilities that she actually had in order to change her situation. Ask the right questions. To find out how you can best alleviate the stress people are experiencing, you have to ask the right questions and go deeper into what caused the problem in the first place. Because what do people actually experience when they feel stressed? Problem 1. Do I have too many tasks so that I can never finish them? Do I have the skills to do the job? Am I prioritizing correctly? Does my boss at work support me? Is the working environment good or bad? Do I work too many hours? Am I thriving where I am, in relation to work as well as my private life? Do I get along well with my colleagues at my workplace? Are my finances satisfactory? Do I feel good with my friends and family? Do I spend enough time with my family and friends? Do I get enough sleep? Problem 2. Do I have so many thoughts about my state of mind that I never do anything about problem one? Do my thoughts take up so much space that I don't get enough sleep? Do my thoughts take up so much space that I don't finish my tasks? Do my thoughts take up so much space that I don't get to see my friends and family? And do I talk to them about anything else other than my feelings of stress? Do I relate to all the thoughts that pop into my head? And do I really need to? Do I apply effective strategies to my worries and similar thoughts? What other strategies can I possibly use? Do I remember to postpone my response to triggers and use detached mindfulness and awareness exercises? Depending on what your answers are, you should be able to find various solutions. The answers to problem one will show the specific actions needed to solve problem one. And the answers to problem two will show how much the thought about feeling stressed take up space, and that the solution is therefore to minimize the time you spend on worrying and ruminating.